Happy July 4th. It's the PW Torch Livecast. Big Show and Zack Ryder have saved us. It's a great day here on the PW Torch Livecast at pwtorchlivecast.com. This is the Raw Postgame Show. I'm your host, Torch Assistant Editor James Caldwell, and I'll be joined in just a second by Torch columnist Pat McNeil here on a 4th of July U.S. holiday edition of Raw. We got a food fight. We got a random victory in the former Big Show and Zack Ryder. And in between, there were some interesting developments as it concerns Battleground and other events going on in WWE. But, of course, this was a holiday edition of Raw, which meant all kinds of weird stuff happened. And we'll talk to Pat about that in just a second. Quick rundown. Tonight's Raw. All the coverage at pwtorch.com. My full report on the show, plus the quick results if you just want to know what happened in the matches. And we have news on what happened after Raw went off the air. They did the... Well, won't be the main event, but one of the big matches at Battleground that was announced tonight, they did as the dark match after Raw went off the air. It will be John Cena and Enzo Amore and Big Cass against the club at Battleground. It will not be Cena Styles 1-on-1 in a rematch. And they did that six-man tag after Raw went off the air in the dark match. We have coverage of that also at pwtorch.com tonight. So that's what's going on as it relates to Battleground. And we got a lot of other things to talk about from tonight's Raw. Thanks for hanging out with us here on the 4th of July. I hope you've got fireworks going on in the background wherever you are if you're listening to us live here on Monday night. So let's go to PW Torch columnist Pat McNeil. Pat, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing great. Happy 4th of July. Hello, you people.
Pat, of all the things I thought we'd talk about tonight before Raw, I think Big Show and Zack Ryder were very, 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 very far down the list. But that's how Raw ended, because they saved America, Pat. What did you make of this?
Well, yes, it was, yes. I mean, the moment they announced the USA versus non-Americans, you know, 8-on-8 tag, you knew that was going to be the main event of Raw. I mean, it just felt like they got to the two-hour mark, and they just, it feels like, once again, they got to 2 hours, and they had Enzo and Cass, you know, helping out Cena against the club. And they're like, okay, screw it. What, you know, is this 2 hour of main event or super? Yeah, show's over. I mean, we got some fun wrestling. That main event, it was pretty obvious that all those guys were in there with the goal of not getting hurt, and they were not going to do it. I mean, the only thing that I saw that looked somewhat dangerous was Owens getting Mark Henry up for that powerbomb, which is a very impressive feat. But they were basically just there to have a good time in that match and not get hurt. I think it might have worked better if they had just done a straight 16-man tag team match instead of trying to cram 15 eliminations into the last 30 minutes of the show.
I was about to say, yeah, 15 eliminations, or actually 14 because there were two 14. Sole survivors. But, 22-minute match, 14 eliminations. I mean, you do the math. That's just a ridiculous number of eliminations.
Yes, it is.
That's bad. They could have cut out in a segment and had – I mean, I don't know if you want to stretch out this match to, you know, 30 minutes, but at least the eliminations would have been a little bit more believable. Poor Bubba Ray, you know, he just, I mean, he was out there in a minute and a half, you know.
They wanted to remind the Dudleys that they're jobbers. I mean, that's pretty much what I took out of that part of the match.
Oh, yes, that's, yeah. There's a formula, Pat.
But we've got 16 guys. I mean, the idea is, I guess, we've got 16 guys in this match, so let's protect, four of them.
and that's hard to do when everybody has to be eliminated. You know, everybody ends up looking kind of silly.
Well, we've got a couple of DQs took care of that.
With Kevin Owens, yes, yeah.
Yeah.
Owens got his moment, like as you mentioned, with pop-up on Mark Henry, so that was good. Pat...
Good is relative.
Yes. Zack Ryder, I mean, my gosh. He won the ladder match at WrestleMania, dropped the title the next night to Miz. He wins this you know, patriotic battle, you know, it seemed like a battle royal, but elimination tag. We always have to ask this question, Pat. Is this going to lead to anything for Ryder, or like WrestleMania, was this just a one-night thing?
I figure once Ryder gets his check from WrestleMania, he's not going to care what happens to him for the rest of the year. At least they're using him. You know, I don't know. But I don't know that they have any plans for him. I don't know that they have any plans for anybody, James.
Draft. Wait for the draft. This is a holding pattern.
So. Yeah, that's right. They're going to do the draft. Okay.
Yeah. So, along that note, you know, Vicky Guerrero came back to do the, you know, I want to be the GM of SmackDown bid, and Shane and Stephanie were not on Raw tonight. I guess they were vacationing again.
They had actually at one point advertised Shane would be on Raw, but that's, yeah. But maybe they didn't mean on camera because they weren't on camera because, you know, I don't think they wanted to be on this show either.
If the rating comes in below a 2.0, they don't want to be part of it. No, that's exactly right. Yes.
Yeah, and, you know, I know that there was nothing else on TV tonight, and I know it's, I mean, it was 8 o'clock, you know, 8 o'clock here in South Carolina, and it's still 91 degrees outside. So, you know, not a lot of people running around today, with at least not in this part of the country. But, geez, you know?
Yeah. Yeah,
I mean, you know, you do the champion versus champion bit, which is an automatic, which is an almost automatic, you know, non-draw with the way WWE presents it.
Along those lines, I love how you know Michael Cole says, you know, a rare occurrence, champion versus champion. I'm like, they just did this on SmackDown. It's not rare anymore.
That's right. but nobody saw SmackDown, including Michael Cole.
Yes,
including
if it's
Byron
news to him.
Sesson, apparently, who was that SmackDown?
Who called the match? Yes.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, the meat of the show, the two big things were the stuff for Battleground, which is, you know, Seth Rollins, Dean Ambrose, and that other guy, that Reigns guy, who's off TV, the suspension. So that was the meat of the show was that plus the latest John Cena the Club business. And you know they put all that in the optimum hour, the second hour when people were actually watching the show,
right.
So that was smart. They figured nobody's watching the third hour this week. So Pat, touch on those two big things, you know, the Cena Club business, and then the WWE title hype for Battleground.
Well, they're going to drag out Cena and Styles a little bit longer, which I guess is why Enzo and Cass are teaming up with Cena against the Club at Battleground in the six man. I mean, I heard that. I saw that, and I'm like, oh, they're setting up something for next week. How nice. No, that wasn't it at all.
Yeah, next week's Raw? Yeah, no.
Well, they finally found somebody who would make the save for Cena, and, of course, it's the new guys who don't know any better.
I thought it was going to be the Usos, because they just did this in Japan over the weekend. Usos helped out Cena against
the Club. I guess the Usos worked SmackDown and went back. I mean, they worked Superstars, and then went back to the hotel.
They weren't available for the big save. Yeah.
Yeah, you know. I mean, but you finally found somebody who wanted in a big match enough to make the save for Cena, and this is going to be a big deal for them, I think, and to a lesser extent for Gallows and Anderson, because this is about, you know, this is about as high up as they've been on a pay-per-view, so on a WWF pay-per-view anyway, WWE, I know.
Yeah, the other interesting thing to me is, Pat, do you think that Cena and Styles will end up on the same brand now that they're not having this match at Battleground? Do you think this is a sign that they'll either be both on Raw or both on SmackDown and then have that second match at, you know, maybe SummerSlam?
Oh, I expect them to both be on the same brand, yeah, in as much as that matters. I mean, they're going to... Yeah, I mean, otherwise they can't really do this. They can't really... I mean, who's the Club going to beat up every week if they don't beat up John Cena?
Yeah.
they've turned it into a running gag. Okay, well, what are we going to do next week? We're going to beat up Cena. What are we going to do on Labor Day? We're going to beat up Cena. You know, what are we going to do for Christmas? We're going to beat up Cena.
So it seems like all four guys are going to be on the same brand, it seems like. I mean, that's got to be the only way to continue this. Otherwise, yeah, like you said, the gag's over, you know. Go ahead.
Well, you only need Cena and Styles on the same brand because that's what the issue is. I mean, I don't think Cena's going to have any full time help. So plus it might add something to it if Styles doesn't have the Club around to fight off Cena every week.
Aha! Now it's an even battle. Interesting. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, again, I in no way believe that they have this draft planned out.
They don't have a draft. The draft. Yeah, you're probably right.
Well, no, I think that they figured out. Okay, they're figuring out. Okay, Reigns and Rollins are going to be on the one, and Ambrose are going to be on the one brand, and Cena and Styles are going to be on the one brand. But after that, I don't think they know.
Yeah. Well, if they need help, Greg Parks and I did a whole audio breaking that down in April.
That's
so
right.
They should consult with that. I think we did a pretty good job.
Yeah.
I thought so.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Pat, before I let you go, I've got to get your prediction for perhaps the most random announcement of the show, which is that Brock Lesnar, his SummerSlam opponent, will be announced on SmackDown.
Right.
What do you make of this?
I did this, and somebody explained to me on Facebook they need to have the match announced by Thursday so that after Brock Lesnar wins at UFC on Saturday, he can go in there and cut up. He can go and do his interview and cut a promo on whoever he's facing at SummerSlam.
Do you know what he's going to cut a promo on? I mean, I don't even know who he's going to face. I mean, I couldn't even guess because there's no context.
You could.
The last time that we, you know, last time we saw him, he beat Dean Ambrose at WrestleMania. Is he gonna challenge Ambrose?
Oh,
you know what I mean?
Oh no, I say it's Reigns. I say it's Reigns and Lesnar.
Oh God.
I'm calling it now.
Oh.
It'll only be like 18 months after it would have mattered. So, you know, that's great.
So the game being played here is Vince says, okay, Brock, you can go back to UFC, but you're going to face Reigns at SummerSlam, and after your fight, you got to cut a promo on Reigns to make Reigns relevant. Is that what we're going for here?
I would not. That's my guess. Yeah. That is. I mean, if you're asking me, okay, who do you think it is, James? I mean, look at the options. I mean, you think they're going to put him in there against Big Cass?
I mean, the only thing that makes sense to me is that he comes back and challenges for the title, but they can't announce that on SmackDown because there's a title match before SummerSlam, you know, so it's...
Exactly, and I could still have Ambrose and Rollins fight for the title at SummerSlam.
Yeah. Brock and Reigns at SummerSlam, gosh, it's just, no.
Come on, it's the biggest match of all time. They never had a finish, and, you know.
really, who I want to see Brock face at SummerSlam would be somebody like, you know, Styles or Nakamura or Finn Balor.
It's
you know
not
what
happening.
I mean? But none of that stuff's happening.
They're not putting Brock Lesnar in there with Nakamura. Are you out of your mind?
That would be epic.
It
would be epic.
Yes, it would. It would be incredible. They're just not going to do it. I mean, Daniel Bryan versus Lesnar would have been incredible.
Yes.
They're not going to do it.
That's right. Yep. Oh, I hope it's not Reigns. I'd even try to venture a guess.
You want it to be Kane? I mean, come on.
Kane. Kane is a real
Maybe
American.
Maybe it'll be Triple
Pat.
H again. I don't know.
Oh, gosh. How about Chris Jericho?
It's going to be Reigns.
Let's go safe
it'll
for
be
Jericho.
Reigns.
Okay.
No.
I'll take Kevin Owens. How about Owens?
I mean, I would love to see Brock Lesnar versus Kevin Owens. Yes, it's going to be Reigns, and it's going to be a good match. And Reigns is going to get booed out of the building again in Brooklyn, which I don't know. I guess that must be what they're going for at this point.
No, they just don't care. Yeah, yeah. The other part of that too, Pat, is are they going to announce it like at the taping in front of the live crowd, or will there be some sort of secret video that's only airs on Thursday, you know, kind of like what TNA is doing with the Hardys thing tomorrow.
Yeah, if it were me, it wouldn't air until Thursday, and
right.
You know, somebody will watch it on one of the international editions and report it to us on Wednesday. So
that's right. Yeah. Either way.
But yeah.
Yeah, SmackDown is going live in 2 weeks. They don't have to worry about that anymore. Yeah. Yeah.
That's really my takeaway from all this. SmackDown's going live in 2 weeks.
Stay tuned until
God
then.
God help us all.
Yes, until then, SmackDown's completely irrelevant. But Pat, give us, before I let you go, give us a little bit of talk about Wednesday's live cast and what you've got with Jim Valley over the VIP audio section.
Let's see. Jim Valley and I went up on Sunday for you VIP members. Woodback Playback number 95, the second hour of the 1996 King of the Ring, which means that the thrilling conclusion will be coming up this Sunday with Shawn Michaels against Davey Boy Smith and a certain speech given by a certain King of the Ring winner. So
a little promo
be,
in there. Yeah, just a little one.
That'll
be
fun, yeah. We'll enjoy that. Wednesday, I'm very pleased that we'll be having former WWF, AWA, WCW, and Ring of Honor announcer Gary Michael Capetta on the show. And Gary is also an author. He wrote the book Body Slams, which is very good. It's a book that you should read if you haven't already. And I don't know. We're going to have a good time, I think.
Pat, I assume you already have a lot of audio lined up, a little audio drops here and there of Gary Michaels' best calls. I'm very much looking forward to some of this.
No.
You don't?
No, I don't, but I don't, but that's a good idea. Maybe I'll do that.
That's your homework for Wednesday, Pat. I'm giving you an assignment.
Yeah, I guess so. I got a lot of homework. Okay. That's a good deal
This
then.
is Sting! Things like that. Yes.
Yeah. I like that. This is Boris from Chicago. No, I
There
didn't
we
say
go.
that.
That's right. That's how we talked about that.
Yeah.
Yes. Very
Yeah, we
good.
did.
All right, Pat. We'll look forward to Wednesday, and then we'll reconvene in the VIP after show on Wednesday. Looking forward to it.
As we always do, it'll be fun.
All right. Sounds good. Thanks, Pat, for joining us here on the show. That's PW Torch columnist Pat McNeil, and he'll be back on Wednesday's live cast, as mentioned. And our goal will remind you guys, the PW Torch live cast is sponsored by Loot Crate, monthly subscription box service for epic geek and gamer items and pop culture gear. For less than $20 a month, you get 6 to 8 items that includes licensed gear, apparel, collectibles, and unique one-of-a-kind items. All you have to do is go to lootcrate.com, enter the code PWTorch, save $3 on any new subscription. Loot Crate is more than just a subscription service. It's an entire community of fans that share their experience, interact with each other around the world with their unboxing of each month's crate. Loot Crate guarantees $40 in value in every crate, and sometimes it's a lot more than just $40 in value. Every month there's a different theme, and all themes, all items are curated around that theme. All the themes are inspired by major movies and video games, pop culture franchises like Star Wars and Marvel and Legend of Zelda and many more. So just go to lootcrate.com, enter the code PWTorch, save $3 in any new subscription, and we'll be right back with your phone calls after this quick timeout.
When you're looking to tune in live to the PW Torch Livecast, find out about the next episode, or just catch up on an episode you missed, go to our new website, pwtorchlivecast.com. You can select shows by specific day, specific host, and format, including a grid of our latest interviews and best of selections on the homepage. That is pwtorchlivecast.com, where you can stream our show live and listen to past shows on demand. That's pwtorchlivecast.com. Do you shop at Amazon.com? If so, do you know there's a way for you to support the PW Torch Livecast without doing anything different other than starting your shopping at pwtorch.com/Amazon? When you go to pwtorch.com/Amazon, click on the Amazon link and you land at the Amazon homepage. But anything you buy on that shopping trip, we get a commission for. It's a way to throw a few extra quarters, maybe a couple bucks in the tip jar, as a way to say thanks for what we do here at the PW Torch Livecast. So next time you're about to shop at Amazon, don't type in AMAZ. Stop right there and type in pwtorch.com/Amazon. That's pwtorch.com/Amazon. A free, easy way to help support what we do here at the Livecast. Thank you.
All right, let's go to phone calls, and the number reaches here in the live cast, 646-721-9828. Shoot us an email, pwtorchlivecast@gmail.com. This is Torch Assistant Editor James Caldwell taking your calls here on the Raw Post Game Show. And let's kick it off in the 281, my good friend James Eddie Houston here on a Monday night. James, how are you doing tonight?
I mean, I was doing good till I was going to ask you about the Lesnar stuff and all that stuff, but you kind of talked about that, so now I'm kind of running out of things to think about. Maybe I can just talk to you about how the Rockets aren't signing any free agents and stuff like that. How are you doing?
Hey, we got Ryan in.
Yeah.
$80 million for Ryan in.
Okay?
I don't want to go on NBA rant, but this free agency stuff is ridiculous. All this new money coming in from the TV deal. I mean, my gosh, some of these contracts are just nuts. But, James, yeah. About Brock, I mean, I don't know how to predict an MMA fight, but yeah, I'm assuming that Brock will. I don't know if he'll win. Let me get your pick. You know, Pat and I are talking about who's Brock's going to face at SummerSlam. Who do you think Brock's going to face at SummerSlam?
For me, I think the sexy pick is Kevin Owens because of the whole, he's a fighter, right?
Right.
So maybe that could be some type of weird play that the WWE can kind of, I don't know, maybe parody is the wrong word, but they could try and do something like that because like y'all were talking about, there's no other, I mean, along the list, there's really no other people that I could think about besides Reigns, but I think Reigns is going to be in the title picture depending on, because the draft will already happen by SummerSlam, so I figured that he would be in the title picture. So for me, Kevin Owens is doing this blow-up match with Sami Zayn. I feel like that Kevin Owens makes the most sense, but it is the WWE that we're talking about, so sometimes it can make no sense. A thing that I also wanted to talk to you about was they built this whole thing for a couple weeks with Titus O'Neil and Rusev, and it was the opening segment, and they started the match off of a commercial break. You know, I'm not saying I was like this is like the blow away segment, but they were building towards something, and I just felt like that it was just so blasé how they treated the whole thing. So I guess the two questions that I have, the one was back to Brock is, do you think, because this is going to be, do you think that whoever they choose is going to dictate how, like, the draft is going to happen, whoever they choose? Like, if they choose Reigns, do you think that that'll mean that, like, Brock will be for Raw or for SmackDown or whatever? Or do you think they're going to have a few people like Undertaker and like Brock who just float from brand to brand? And then the second question is, what do you think is next for the United States champion? I thought that he was going to drop the belt to Titus, but I really don't know, and I just wanted your thoughts. Hope you had a good 4th of July, and take care.
All right. Sounds good, James. Appreciate the call. Yeah, I had a great 4th of July. I won third place for biggest splash at the neighborhood pool among all the adults. You know, I was I was fighting against a bunch of beer drinkers with giant bellies that they were enhanced, unnaturally enhanced. I am a clean fighter, a clean splasher, and I took home third place in the biggest splash among like 10 or 15 beer drinking guys at the neighborhood pool. I mean, I'm about technique. I know how to drop a can opener like nobody's business. But that's another topic. I have no idea what that whole U.S. title situation was about. I don't know what was going on. Like you said, they joined that match in progress, the opening match. Titus was, I mean, you could tell he was not going to win the title. He came out dressed in the Uncle Sam stuff. He looked kind of goofy, and, you know, he was playing the USA role and all that kind of stuff. But you just never, yeah, like you said, James, going into the show, you thought, okay, maybe there's a chance he wins the title. But then when I saw the presentation, when they joined the match in progress, I said there's no way he's winning. Rusev's retaining. I don't know the end game is. I don't know who's next on the USA list or, you know, whoever's going to conquer Rusev. I don't know who's next. I mean, we're going to go to the, you know, American Alpha from NXT or a tag team. Doesn't make sense to do that. Is it Zack Ryder and Big Show because they won the USA match, the elimination tag, and now, you know, all of a sudden Big Show, you know, wants to step up to Rusev, or Zack Ryder steps up to Rusev, and other than that, I don't know. I mean, Titus is done to me. I mean, he's had two shots at it, or three, and he's lost, and he's had a tap out. I don't understand that at all. I don't know what they're doing with Titus and Rusev. That was weird. That was a weird presentation. Brock's in draft status, I think Brock is drafted to a brand. And something you said, James, was interesting because it made me think about if they do split the titles, would Brock versus XYZ, whether it is Reigns, as Pat said, whether it's Owens, whether it's somebody else, would that be a default title match, you know, if they split the titles, if they created two world titles? Because to me, if I map it out, if they come out on Tuesday or Thursday, tomorrow or Thursday officially, and say Brock Lesnar versus Roman Reigns at SummerSlam, okay. So, then it's like, okay, what if Reigns wins the title at Battleground? Okay, so then it's Reigns against Brock Lesnar for the title. And, you know, but then what about Dean Ambrose, who is owed a rematch? How does that work? You know what I mean? It creates all these complications that maybe it's sorted out by, you know, splitting the titles where Dean faces Seth for the new title. You know, there's some sort of new title introduced. Or vice versa, you know. That might be a possibility if the decision is Brock versus Reigns, and then they try to create some sort of split title out of that situation. But yeah, I think that Brock ends up on a brand. I don't think he'll float. It would you know, if you really want to sell this as a hard brand split, you've got to have your part-timers on a brand. Now, I don't know if they're going to have The Rock be drafted. I think they'll be selective of which part-timers are drafted. But I think now that they've introduced Brock back into the picture, now that he's kind of back, quote-unquote, on the roster, then I think he will be drafted. And so it'll be interesting to see, you know, if he's drafted to SmackDown and how that affects things. So that draft, you know, it kind of makes it interesting to see who actually ends up in the title situation coming out of Battleground and going into SummerSlam with this whole draft going on, with the assumption of them split up the titles again. Appreciate it, James. Thanks for calling in. Let's go next to the 478 area code. Welcome to show 478. Please state your name. Where are you calling from?
How you doing today, James? This is Darrell from Georgia.
Hey, Darrell. Good to hear from you. What's your mind tonight?
Oh, not too much. Glad that you was able to push through that Raw and make it to the post show. Hate that you had to sit through it.
Yeah, it's been a long day. Started the day in a parade, then did the swimming contest, then did it throughout Raw. I'm sunburned, my legs hurt. But I'm here. I made it through, Darrell. I pushed through. I think I was inspired by Zack Ryder and Big Show. They inspired me. I think that's what it was.
And I think that 3-hour Raw was like a slap on the sunburn.
In some ways, yes, it did feel that way at times, yes.
Okay, but I'm glad that you were just speaking on the brand split. I just feel like that this whole brand split, everything in general, is just another tool to be used as to draw interest into the two shows. That's only probably going to last but a week or so, maybe not even that, because what my first question is going to be, over the past 10 years, have WWE ever showed or proven or gave you any evidence that they can consistently book a different type of show or feel, which they have been giving us for the past 10 years? That's one question. And my last question would be, your prediction on what would be the rating for today's show that just went off.
Oh, gosh.
Because I know you like.
I love the question, Drell. I always enjoyed talking to Drell. You have great topics and questions. Oh, pick the rate. It didn't feel like a sub 2.0 rating show. It's hard to get a feel for a show, but I feel like they did enough. They did enough advertising. Now, I know a lot of the advertising was just on their website, on their, you know, network pre-show, which, you know, either you watch or you don't. But I think they did enough. Like, I mean, they didn't advertise anything last week on Raw for this week's show. I don't think so. Very little. Michael Cole said, "Oh, tune in next week for a patriotic show." That was pretty much it. You know, they did enough over the weekend to advertise some stuff. Maybe that got some word of mouth spread around. But, you know, if you're trying to reach casual, irregular fans, they probably have no idea what was advertised, you know, over the weekend for Raw. I'm gonna go exactly 2.0. I'm gonna go 2.00. I don't. You know, maybe I'm surprised on Wednesday because the ratings will be delayed tomorrow from the holidays. So the ratings will come in on Wednesday. Maybe I'll be surprised on Wednesday. You know, maybe it's below a 2.0, or maybe it's, you know, 2.2. But I'm going to sit right at a 2.0. I'm going to go 2.0 flat. That's my ratings pick. It didn't have the feel of a sub 2.0 rating show. A lot of times I go by feel. You kind of feel if a show feels dead or not. The show didn't feel dead to me. It felt like there was life to it. There was some strange booking, like the U.S. title and the main event was kind of weird. And third hour of Raw really felt like, okay, yeah, well, this doesn't need to happen. There was enough on the show. I mean, like the middle of the show was good. You know, the two singles matches with centered around the WWE title with Ambrose and Rollins, plus the Cena Club stuff was good. So it wasn't like this show felt like it was, you know, a Christmas Raw where it's, you know, presents being bashed over people's heads and, you know, repeat of a repeat of a repeat of a repeat. Let's get to the end of the year, please. You know, it didn't have that feel of a holiday show. So I'm going to go 2.0. going leaning upward. I think 2.0 and above. I don't think it'll be a sub 2.0, but we'll see on Wednesday. I could be wrong. I could be completely wrong on Wednesday. We'll find out. History of WWE following through on something like this with a brand split. Yeah, I mean, like, the last time SmackDown was really relevant was, 13 years ago, when Sean Radican, who just hit an anniversary of the torch, when Sean Radican was covering SmackDown, you know, the Paul Heyman era. It was, you know, Paul Heyman behind the scenes and on camera as one of the featured acts. You know, you had Brock Lesnar, you had Kurt Angle, you had Big Show, and Big Show was relevant. You had great tag teams, you know, Eddie Guerrero, guys like that. So, you know, Undertaker was on there. I would say that was probably the last time SmackDown was really, really challenging Raw for relevancy. You know, there have been some good eras of SmackDown. You know, like you go back 7-8 years ago. You know, Batista, Rey Mysterio, Undertaker when he was full time before he went part time. You had a Matt Hardy MVP feud that was kind of like the only thing to look forward to. That was kind of after, you know, that was kind of around the same time. But yeah, I'm thinking like Batista, Rey Mysterio, Undertaker, guys like that when they were dominating SmackDown. That was a pretty good era for SmackDown. But other than that, you're right, Andre. There really hasn't been that commitment to SmackDown. I think a lot of it is because it's a taped show. And Vince McMahon lives for that live television feel. He wants live. It's his adrenaline rush of the day. Now he gets two adrenaline rushes because he's doing Raw and SmackDown live. So I think this is going to be a big priority for them. And we'll definitely see when the draft happens if this is if they follow through on making SmackDown a big priority. I mean, they're gonna have to draft some big names to SmackDown. I mean, Brock Lesnar is right up there as a guy they're gonna have to draft to SmackDown. You just have to. You know, you can't draft the kind of good guys and the kind of main eventers. You got to draft the big names over to SmackDown. So we'll see how it balances out. Darrell, appreciate the call. Thanks for calling in. We'll see if they can follow through on the history. I'm sorry, follow through and kind of rewrite history a little bit on SmackDown. Let's go next to 305 area code. Welcome to show 305. Please state your name. Where are you calling from?
Hey, what's going on, DJ from Miami?
Hey, DJ, what's your mind tonight?
Seriously, I thought you guys were saying I thought it was bad. My first thing, I got three quick things real fast. Mm-hmm. My first thing is this: seriously, like AJ thing wasn't that good. I was like, seriously, he's been doing excellent, and then they gave him this. I wasn't impressed.
You're talking about the promo, material.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah.
Yes. My second thing is, what's going on with Reigns? I want to know what he did. Did he do pills? Is it roids? Is that why they're hiring it? And my third thing is, that Uncle Sam was Uncle Sam. That was Apollo, whatever, from dude from Rocky.
Mm-hmm.
You don't understand. Titus O'Neil is the next Sando, the next the Italian guy. When they do the slips, he's gone. Because of that thing with Vince, I'm telling you, watch. I promise you, James, you're going to see in the next couple of weeks, you're going to dress different and different and different. I promise you that. You'll see. Look what they did to him today. They never done that with him, ever. Mm. And they were going to push him. So that's it. And I hope you have a great fourth. I'll talk to you next week.
All right, DJ. Appreciate the call. Yeah, that was not a good presentation of Titus tonight, and I'm not sure the direction they go with him. I don't know if they soured on him. Well, you know, they had to come back from suspension. They started this big program of him against Rusev, and you know, Titus just hasn't shined in this at all. You know, he got that moment where he got to, like, really beat up Rusev, and it was, you know, more of a scrap than a fight, scrap than a match. There was no match. It was just a scrap. He looked pretty good there, but, you know, as far as in the ring goes for a match, it just hasn't clicked. And I'm not ready to say that he's going to go the Sandow or Santino route. It's definitely a distinct possibility. And DJ, I'm marking you down here. Remember the July 4th Raw. We're going to check back in a week or two or maybe three or four. And we'll see. We'll see if Titus is doing goofy stuff from now on. I'm not sure, because I have no idea what the U.S. title presentation was about tonight. Just none of it made any sense. as far as Titus goes. I mean, it was if it was about just Rusev, then okay, great. We've seen this before. You know, he goes through the Americans, and you know, then somebody finally beats him. Like we just saw this 2 years ago. But as far as Titus goes, I have no idea. AJ's promo could have been condensed from, I think he talked for, oh gosh, 6 or 7 minutes. That could have been condensed to about 2 minutes, and then done the funny stuff with Carl and Doc about, well, what are we going to do on Labor Day? We're going to beat up John Cena. What are we going to do on Halloween? You know, we're going to dress up like so-and-so and beat up John Cena. What are we going to do at Christmas? We're going to wrap presents, and then we're going to beat up John Cena. I thought that stuff was pretty funny, and it got them over his heels, but it took forever to get there. I'm with you on that, DJ. You know, John Cena is just having him, you know, pace back and forth in the ring as AJ does the promo. Yeah, they could have cut that material down in half, and it would have been just as effective. So, I think sometimes, you know, they have to fill 3 hours of Raw, and they get caught, you know, overriding because they've got to figure out how to fill this giant block of time at the top of the third hour, and that was it right there. So. Yeah, I don't know. I thought AJ's had better promos. I thought the ending was good though. The ending was strong. It just took a while to get there. You know, it was a little bit of a bumpy road to it. Roman Reigns' suspension. I don't have the official cause, the official reason why he was popped. I mean, you know, Jim Ross is speculating in the blog. It was about maybe a substance, you know, something you would find in GNC or another, you know, major health food store where it has some sort of, you know, chemical in it that, you know, is legal, but it's, you know, causes a wellness violation from the policy. So, you know, like, you know, some form of creatine or something like that. That's just an example that popped in my head. But I have no idea what the official cause was, and unless he says it or WWE says it, it's all speculation, you know. There's not been an official announcement of what he popped for, but it could be any type of workout supplement. That happens a lot of NFL players who take, you know, workout supplements, and then, you know, it leads to a failure on an NFL drug policy. You know, well, I bought it at so-and-so. Well, it has this chemical in it, which is illegal on the policy, but not illegal to sell. So he could have fallen in that gray area and just, you know, not checked all the ingredients. I don't know. It's just speculation. All right, DJ, appreciate the phone call, and let's go on to our next phone call. Next up in the live cast, out of the 904 area code. Welcome to the show, 904. Please state your name. Where are you calling from?
Hey, what's up, man? This is Jackie from Jacksonville, Florida.
Hey, Jackie.
Yo, I heard y'all talking about the draft and all that, and I'm like, first off, why would WWE split the brands up again, bring them back, like, bring, you know, that's kind of stupid in my opinion. That's like, yeah, that's stupid in my opinion. That's like, why would you, yeah.
Well, I think the main argument is when you have access to the entire roster, it's kind of the WWE Nitro thing. When you have access to the entire roster, I think the storytelling gets lazy. And I think the creative team sort of loses focus because they've got access to everybody. The stories get a little bit loose. Guys are kind of on TV 1 week and off TV the next week. And then, you know, just you don't know who's going to be on the show. And it just gets real inconsistent. You're trying to fit everybody on the 1 3-hour show. And I think Nitro really suffered as a result back in the day because of that. So I think the argument that I've always held to for why you do a brand split is you have this group of people to work with. You can focus on these, you know, 25 male wrestlers and these 10 female wrestlers or whatever number. And you know, these 5 tag teams and you know, this one authority figure. And this is your clay. This is what you get to work with at the creative team. You know, so shape it, mold it. Here's your clay. Go for it. And then this other team, they get this clay, this big blob of clay, and this is what you get to focus on. And you shape it, you mold it, here's your clay to work with. I've always felt that that's better than having access to the entire roster. And unless you're very disciplined, which, you know, WWE really kind of screwed themselves in 3 hours and did not change the format. You know, like having 1 hour is, Again, here 1 hour. This roster is on this hour. You're the 8 p.m. hour, 9 p.m. This is your roster at 9 p.m. 10 p.m. This is your roster. I'm like, I mean, to really make a 3 hour Raw work, you've got to have individual something. You know, there's got to be individual pieces of clay to work with, broken up by time slot or tag team division. You know, the tag division is featured at 10 o'clock. The women are at 9. You know, whatever it is, there's got to be some division. Otherwise, you see what's happening. I mean, Raw's been on 3 hours for 4 years now, and the show has got progressively worse over the years. A lot of it is the effect of 3 hour Raws. And the other effect, the other issue is just they have access to too many things, and you know there's no division, there's no way to divide up to 3 hours. I mean, it would be like having breakfast, lunch, and dinner all at one time. I mean, you'd be in the bathroom for an hour. You know, you'd have your pancakes, and you'd have syrup, and you'd have steak, and you'd have barbecue sauce, and you'd have ice cream, and you'd have a sandwich with heavy cheese, and you have it all mixing together at one time. You're going to end up in the bathroom. You know, I mean, you've got to have some division. And so I've always made this argument that you've got to give the creative teams individual elements to work with. And I think that I know that's like, we've got to fill 3 hours of Raw. I think they can do a much better job filling 3 hours of Raw with 20 people than access to all 78,000 people on the roster. I think it'll be a much tighter show on both Raw and SmackDown if they do it right. And they'll be able to limit their focus and just say, these are the people we get to work with. Let's create the best matches and feuds and title chases and storylines. And then, you know, in a year from now, we'll draft them up. And, you know, here's a whole new, you know, thing of clay to work with. I think that's just the best way to go after 4 years of 3 hour Raws. And it's shown you've got to have something different to give the creative team something else to work with. Otherwise, it's just, to me, it's just, it's too undisciplined. There's got to be more discipline, in the approach, in how they approach the creative process. Otherwise, you end up with a big mess, as we see weekly on Raw. Jackie, appreciate the call. It set me up to state my argument that I like to state when the brand split question comes up. I know the reason is not to do it. You know, you end up with, you know, oh, this guy's over on Raw and not on SmackDown. You know, I mean, there's all this thing about, you know, I want to see this guy on Raw. I want to see him face this person. I like this feud. I get it. I think that's why, it's a long-term approach. And eventually, you know, Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens, they might be separated for a year and they'll come back in a year. You know, and there's also the argument of, you know, changing the titles and you got to re-split the titles and all that. I want to see how they handle that one because that is my big concern is if they do re-split the titles. So that is a big argument against it. So I get that one. We'll see how that plays out. Jackie, thanks for calling in. Let's go to our next caller, 773. You're up next. 773, please state your name where you're calling from.
You know what I did? I didn't even watch the show at all.
Boris, what were you watching?
I was watching fireworks. I was enjoying barbecue. Anything nice. But Monday Night Raw. Well, my first thing is, you could talk about anything you've been enjoying from maybe from June of New Japan, like G1 Climax, you know, Pacific matches that you've seen after the, you know, the excitement of the Will Ospreay and, you know, that match.
Sure.
Maybe talk about some you know, something you particularly liked. Because my thing is, I'm just watching this, how Elgin, I'm just looking at the American wrestlers, how they're getting treated. Jay White is going to Ring of Honor. He's what you call that, a graduation or something? I don't know.
Excursion.
Jay White is going to Ring of Honor. I mean, it's just really making me sad about the product over here versus, I mean, I don't, you know, I've just been watching for, you know, since Wrestle Kingdom 9, mm-hmm. You know, so it's been like a year or so. And I'm just watching the progress and just seeing how our American stars are being treated over there versus anybody coming to this product over here.
Sure.
And tonight, just listening from what you guys said, I didn't miss nothing because it's just that pathetic.
Boris, you missed Zack Ryder and Big Show saving America. That's what you missed, yeah. I'm going to keep going back to that because it was so surreal and somewhat you know, ridiculous, and I assume there will be no follow-up. I mean, I don't know. Maybe Big Show and Ryder, there will be some follow-up on Raw. You know, I don't know. Sometimes they act like last week's show didn't even happen. You know, it just kind of has that feel a lot of times. Because it's 3 hours. It's just a giant monster of a show. And, you know, once the show's over, unless there's a huge angle, you know, you just kind of forget about it by the time next Monday's Raw shows up. G1 Climax, that they announced, New Japan announced every single match in the G1 Climax today. It's a ridiculously long list. I'm going to stick to the, you know, they announced like two headline matches of each night back on, I think it was last Wednesday-ish when they announced, last Monday they announced the G1 blocks and the headline matches. So I'm going to stick to those. Headline matches. I think the... Which matches I'm really looking forward to? I think Okada Marufuji on opening night. You know, the IWGP World Heavyweight Champion Okada, the Ace of Noah Marufuji. I mean, that's something. I don't even know how to present that. I mean, that's AJ Styles and John Cena. You know, and it's actually for a huge tournament. You know. You've got Tanahashi and Okada, you know, way, I think on the very next to last day of the tournament. You know, you've got Michael Elgin and Kenny Omega talking about Boris. Shibata and Elgin on my birthday on July 27th. That's a nice birthday present. You just got, I mean, Shibata and Kenny Omega, you got Tanahashi and Marufuji. I mean, you can't even pick one. Hanma and Elgin. I'm just scrolling through the list of the two headline matches of each night. I mean, it's just ridiculous, you know. If I had to pick one, I'll just pick one. You know, because it's on my birthday, I'm going to go Shibata and Elgin. Because I think Shibata and Elgin... Michael Elgin is such a huge star in Japan now, and then Shibata is just killing folks right now. And so you get those two guys in the ring together. That's the never openweight champion Shibata, the new IWGP Intercontinental Champion Elgin. I mean, that's just a sick match. I mean, that's just sick, and that should be very physical. And that's a nice birthday present. I appreciate it. Thank you. So I look forward to that match a lot, Boris. It's Shibata Elgin, and also of course Tanahashi Okada and Okada Marufuji. Pretty much Marufuji against anybody in that tournament. I would enjoy watching that match. So, and the entire tournament is on New Japan World, and they're paid. They're WWE Network that New Japan offers. So, I look forward to watching a lot of that this summer. That should be a fun summer. So, I'll have all the coverage of that at pwtorch.com. We've got the full the G1 Climax coverage at the website pwtorch.com. Including the announcement today of all the developments and the final list of participants and some Ring of Honor crossover. So all that good stuff there. Boris, thanks for calling in. Appreciate the call. Hey, guys, how would you like to get all of your favorite NBA team merchandise delivered straight to your doorstep? Kevin Durant. Check out FanEssentials.net. All you do is pick your favorite sports team. Oh, KD, why'd you go to the Warriors? Every month, you get your team's gear shipped right to your door. They find sports gear so you don't have to. Each fan box comes packed with some amazing gear. It makes a great gift idea for any sports fan. Prices start at just $34.99 per month. Visit FanEssentials.net and use a promo code PWTORCH at checkout. Get 30% off your first month. Again, visit FanEssentials.net. Get all the essentials you need. PW Torch at checkout. Get 30% off at FanEssentials.net. And let's go to our next phone call. Next up here in the live cast is out of the 314 Erie code. 914, you're on deck. 314, please state your name. Where are you calling from?
Hey, what's up, James? This is Damian calling from St. Louis. What's going on?
Damian, good to hear from you. What's your mind tonight?
Well, what's on my mind is, This 4th of July Raw absolutely sucks. Oh, my God. Where do I start? Oh, they got the food fight going on that happened earlier today, quote, unquote. And everybody that was involved in that, it was like really, it was just typical Vince McMahon, Kevin Dunn comedy.
This is the type of show that they strive to put on pretty much every week. You know, we have a little bit of comedy and all this nonsensical stuff. Okay, then, of course, you didn't address this, but our GM tonight, Vicky Guerrero, actually came back and then got subsequently thrown out the building.
Mm-hmm.
Even though Shane and Stephanie was nowhere to be found tonight, I thought that was kind of telling. And then, you know what? I mean, okay, so we already talked about the club, you know, the whole AJ and Cena promo segment. I thought that was kind of silly. But then you're also going to involve Enzo and Cass in there. And now we're going to have Enzo and Cass with Cena going against the club at Battleground.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think this is going to give a big rub to Enzo and Cass being associated with Cena? Or will it be just like anybody else who's associated with Cena? They get knocked down a peg just by being associated with them. Oh, yeah. Before you answer that, I just want to say that damn segment that LA was spouting out Sonic, $5 big box, and then Enzo got a chance to do that couple of taters line. It's bad that Roman Reigns is suspended, because it would have been a perfect time for him to revisit that whole tater tots thing. He would actually have some tater tots to play with. But go ahead, James. I got a second question after that.
Oh, gosh. Yeah, that was so bizarre, too, was, you know, Enzo and Big Cass are in this big spot where they save Cena, and then, you know, 2 segments later, they're doing the goofy ad read for Sonic. You know, it's sort of a, you know, sort of a goofy bit. You know, I just felt like it was completely out of context what they've been doing on the show. They already had a match. They were in a food fight. They were in a match. They saved Cena, and then they're in the Sonic spot. You know, so... What are we supposed to take from it? Are Enzo and Cass a big deal, or are they, you know, or are they just kind of running mates to Cena now, and Cena just needed somebody? Yeah, I don't know who the better options are for Cena. You know, he obviously needs some help. Usos would have made sense, because they just did this in Japan over the weekend, where the Usos teamed up with Cena against the club. You know, they could have called up American Alpha. That's an option. Otherwise, I mean, look at the tag division. They don't really have anybody, you know. That would have made sense in that spot. And, jeez. Yeah, it had to be Enzo and Cass. I mean, like, really, it just... No one else made any sense. Or they were already in that that giant tag match. You know. So, yeah, it was kind of a weird spot for Enzo and Cass to be in. But I think this will, you know, this will signal the audience. I think the eventual goal... is to signal to the audience that, you know, Enzo and Cass are a big deal. They're not just a, you know, undercard tag team just sort of goofing around. I think that's what they're trying to signal to the audience here with the association with Cena. Now, if Enzo and Cass go from, you know, I mean, they've been squashing people. They've been winning matches as of late. And all of a sudden, they start getting beat up all the time. You know, that's going to be kind of a shock to the system for the audience that it's kind of getting used to watching them, you know, run through people. So I'm not sure how this is going to work out. You know, I don't see them getting the upper hand in the club every week either, so I'm not really sure how this is going to work. But I think it should at least signal to the audience that they're a bigger deal than just, you know, a couple goofballs. So we'll see if that's how it actually plays out. The food fight was silly. And, there was some silly stuff on the show. There certainly was, Damien, as you said. I think, Damien, you said you had a second question?
All I want to know is, will you be able to watch Impact tomorrow night for that big Hardy versus Hardy, great deletion, last deletion type of deal? I saw the commercial for that, and I'm like, wow, they actually doing something actually different. I mean, obviously, nobody's... I mean, the whole Hardy storyline has really taken a turn for the bizarre in the last few weeks.
Mm-hmm.
But it kind of got people interested, you know? With their match at Slammiversary. Then, of course, they had they match a few weeks ago on Impact. And now we have this taking place at their home. You know, you see fireworks. You see they're just going all out for this. I mean, I would give kudos to TNA for really knowing where to go with this and not take this thing too seriously. They know that it's a ridiculous premise. But it kind of makes me want to watch what happens on Impact tomorrow. I want to see what you think about that. That's all I got. Thanks. Good
for us,
man.
Yeah, appreciate it, Damien. You know, I've got I've got mixed feelings. You know, the macro side of my brain said this is stupid and ridiculous, and it's a sign that TNA, you know, has completely lost it, where they, you know, they can't even have a blow-off match in front of a live audience, that it's not even a wrestling match. They're having to go outside of a wrestling context to have a giant, you know, backyard wrestling fight at the, you know, the Hardy compound. Is this even sanctioned by the North Carolina State Athletic Commission? We'll have to get Bruce on that. You know, I mean, like, there's the macro side of me that says, you know, TNA just lost it, and they've lost their marbles. This is the, you know, they just have completely lost it. They can't book a final match in an actual wrestling arena because they've just gone too far with this. And now it's like, oh, well, you know, the wrestling, the stupid wrestling, you know, the fake wrestling stuff can't decide this feud. We've got to do some, you know, goofy outdoor wrestling thing that's like, I think one of the clips is like Jeff Hardy jumping off a tree or something like that. I mean, just like, just goofy stuff. That's the macro. You know, and then the micro of just, you know, trying to look at his face value, not trying to evaluate TNA as a whole, not trying to evaluate the downfall of the wrestling business because, you know, of this goofy storyline that's just sort of gone over the place. And you know, I really liked their match at Slammiversary. I thought that was a blow-off. That's what a pay-per-view is supposed to be for, is a blow-off of feud. But the dang things keep going and going and going and going, because, again, people don't know how to book anything anymore, and they don't want to blow off any feuds or anything like that. They just keeps going and forever, like WWE. It's an epidemic in wrestling on the whole. Again, back to the macro. But the micro says this is interesting, and it's, you know, I really enjoyed Matt Hardy's character as an individual piece of that storyline, you know, that TNA has been have going on for pretty much the entire year. I've enjoyed watching, Matt Hardy sort of go in this downward spiral and where the character has gone with that. You know, I keep going back to the macro. That's just kind of ridiculous, and TNA has just lost their marbles. But, you know, I could be proven, I could have a different opinion when I see this tomorrow night. It's one of those things where, you know, it's like, oh, this is real, and then that makes everything else feel really fake. You know, here's this giant brawl and this, you know, big production at the Hardy compound. Oh, let's go back to the Impact Zone for some fake wrestling. I just get that sense that when they do this sort of, you know, stuff, whether WWE or TNA or anybody does this, not just TNA. So right now, because I haven't seen it, I'm leaning toward the macro, but I'm willing to give it a shot tomorrow and see if they change my mind. I just think it's, you know, a lot of this is TNA just being desperate and trying to change the narrative of, you know, we don't pay anybody anything on time. You know, they don't pay the production people on time. They don't pay the wrestlers on time. So let's distract from that by having just sort of wild and goofy giant Hardy brawl the compound. So we'll see. That's my TNA thought of the day. And let's go back to Raw. Damian, appreciate the topic. Let me kind of set the stage for what I'm looking forward to or looking toward tomorrow night for Impact. But we'll see what kind of show they put together tomorrow night. Let's go to our next phone call. I think this is international. I think we're going international to Jason out of Australia. Jason, how are you doing tonight or this morning?
Yeah, good, James. How are you?
Or is it this afternoon? I never can remember. Is it like 1 o'clock? Is it 1 o'clock your time? 1:30?
12:30.
So close. So, Jason, when you're watching like Team USA versus Team Multinational International Corporation Alliance, like, I mean, do you have a dog in the fight? Even though, you know, there was no Australian, you know, representative there. They didn't call up, you know, Blake or Murphy from NXT or something like that, or an Australian representative. Like, what do you do? What do you do with a match like that? I'm curious.
You know, there's also TM61 who are actually from Perth, Australia, where I'm from.
That's right.
But, you know, generally, when I'm watching these sort of international type of storylines and you've got America against the rest of the world, I don't know. It's a bit of a disconnect to me. Like, I can understand being patriotic if you're American. That's great, you know. I mean, I like America too, but I sort of just look at it and think, you know, I sort of feel like it's lowest common denominator type of thing. I understand why they do it, but I just sort of let it slide. I mean, I was I don't like it when it actually hurts the talent, like that whole Alberto Del Rio storyline he did a couple of years ago with Jack Swagger, mm-hmm. where he said, you know, what did he say? Made in America, but born in Mexico.
Right.
I mean, that's the type of stuff that really offends me. When you take a talent like Alberto Del Rio, you saddle him with that gimmick, and then he goes nowhere with it. That's what offends me. That's what really offends me.
Mm. Yeah. I think there was a line from Sami Zayn was backstage, and after the, you know, all the, you know, nobody can get along, all the international guys are arguing, and the heels, you know, the heels within that group walk off, and Zayn's like, you know, guys, I think we've given people a bad impression of foreigners. You know, this is just, we need to do something about this. Let's show teamwork. And then, of course, it breaks down in the match. But, you know, it's like Sami Zayn, the commentary on 30, 35, 40 years of WWE educating the audience that foreigners are all evil and can't get along, all that kind of stuff. It was just so funny how Sami Zayn was trying to, you know, correct, 30 years of misconceptions and all that kind of stuff, misperceptions and stuff like that. It was just kind of funny because there's been such a history of xenophobia on WWE TV.
I have to admit, though, I think most of the audience now is sort of over that type of thing. I mean, I'd like to see Rusev. I'm a massive fan of Rusev. I'd like to see him move away from the whole anti-America stuff and just focus on actually being a bad guy. Rusev being a heel as opposed to making it against America. But just a couple of points. You know, you're speaking of that multi-man tag match. I mean, I actually thought what a perfect platform to try and have Apollo Crews be the last guy standing at the end.
Mm.
Really, I don't understand Big Show, who we hardly see anymore, and Zack Ryder, and I've got nothing against Zack Ryder, but he's been losing matches consistently the past few weeks.
Mm-hmm.
I would have thought the booking would have seen Apollo Crews perhaps against Del Rio and Jericho as the last two and coming away with a big victory. Now, I know maybe WWE are thinking, well, we don't want to do that because he might cop backlash and people are seeing that he's trying to, that we're trying to push him, but at least it would make him seem like an important guy that out of 16 wrestlers, he was the sole survivor. It could have given him a boost and could have given like something that the announcers could have talked about in the next few weeks. And just in particular with the storyline with the segment between AJ Styles and Cena tonight,
mm-hmm.
I might be in the minority, but I really enjoyed that segment. I thought it was very entertaining.
Mm-hmm.
I think AJ Styles has just completely come into his own as his heel and actually started feeling sorry for Cena. So it's actually working. but what I like about it from a whole narrative point of view is that you have these bullies in the club with the guy who knows that he's not as good as Cena, so he needs his friends behind him. You've got John Cena, who's not really a geek per se, but he's sort of standing up for himself, but nobody likes him. But then you've got the cool kids, Enzo and Kaz, coming up, sticking up for the guy that no one likes against the bullies. There's almost like this schoolyard narrative that they're running there. So, I mean, I think it's good for Enzo and Kaz to be associated with Cena. But I did write you on Twitter. I thought the perfect team to come out for Cena, given it was July the 4th, was American Alpha. But then you may have run into the problem where some of the audience would have thought maybe that might not have popped as much because you don't know how many people are watching NXT.
Right.
But I would have loved to see Jordan and Gable come out and just, I mean, Jordan, Gable and Cena versus the club. Now, that is a great six-man that could have done a lot for American Alpha. But, those are my thoughts.
Yeah, plus it would have been a great tie-in on the 4th of July with, you know, debuting American Alpha in their, you know, red, white, and blue outfits. And that would have been a positive tie-in to the holiday and the patriotism other than, you know, what we ended up seeing was sort of the typical WWE fare of, you know, Titus O'Neil and the Uncle Sam outfit and the food fight, the barbecue, and the Team International can't get along because, you know, they don't have as much unity as Team America, you know, and that kind of stuff. Yeah, you made an interesting point about, you know, who the sole survivors were, Big Show and Ryder. You know, Big Show, obviously, he didn't need to be. He didn't need to win. But you know, they decided that Big Show be the guy. He did the pep talk before the match. He addressed the troops, so he kind of had to win. So then it became okay. Who do we have win with him? And like you said, it could have been Cruz and Big Show, and Big Show could have given, especially because Big Show is the one who endorsed Cruz what 4 weeks ago when Apollo was in the middle of his feud with Sheamus. You know, this could have been a great tie back to that, and they could have really followed through on Big Show trying to endorse Paul Cruz, and that would have been a really nice tie-in. You know, and obviously, you know, Zack Ryder is a guy that have no idea what to do with from week to week. And last week, I don't remember what he did last week, but you know, one week it's he loses clean to so and so. The next week he gets to win a big elimination tag match on the 4th of July. You know, one night he's losing on Superstars, the next night he's winning a ladder match at WrestleMania. It's just Zack Ryder shows up the building. I mean, like, one week it's gonna be, oh gosh. One week it's like, oh my gosh, really? He's just the most up and down 2016. I mean, he just shows up the building, has no idea what's gonna happen, it seems like. You know, good day, good week or bad week, good show or bad show. It's like, who knows for Zack Ryder. But yeah, you're right, Jason. You could have put Cruz in that spot and had Big Show and Cruz be the sole survivors and really try to get them, get Cruz over, get a new star over, get somebody over. Because I mean, Zack Ryder is a long-term guy. He's just it's not there, so might as well get somebody new over in that spot. So yeah, you're right. The booking choices were very interesting for this elimination tag match. So. Yeah, that would have been a good spot for Cruz. Yeah, AJ Cena, I still would have cut it down, but I did like AJ Cena at the end with the club, and you laid it out pretty nicely. I think that's why they had Enzo and Cass with Cena, was to, like you said, have the cool kids endorse Cena. The dorky kid who's been fighting alone for forever, and a lot of students on the outside don't like John Cena, and don't like him. But then all of a sudden the cool kids come and, help pick him up again, so it's, I think you're right on. That was certainly the psychology I saw too. So, the thing to me is, will Enzo and Cass, will they get a negative rub, from associating with Cena? Because Enzo and Cass were kind of like the cool outsiders who came in from NXT. Will they become uncool because they're associated with Cena now? We'll kind of find out how that plays out. But I think they'll be okay. They're strong enough characters by this point where they should be okay in that regard. Christian wrote in, and Jason, I appreciate your call. Great topics. Christian wrote in with a smiley face. He's glad they're booking Zack Ryder strong for his match against Brock Lesnar at SummerSlam. Yes. Zack Ryder, Brock Lesnar, they had to have Zack be the sole survivor before they announced him against Brock on SmackDown on Tuesday/Thursday. Yes, That's it, folks. nice levity, Christian. Appreciate it. Thanks for emailing in. I'll be right back after this quick commercial. We'll take more of your phone calls and emails. Wrap up tonight's Raw postgame show.
We know you're a pro wrestling fan because you're listening to the PW Torch livecast. There's a good chance you're also a fan of the UFC and all of mixed martial arts. And if so, we hope you'll check out our sister website at MMATorch.com, covering the news of MMA every single day with breaking news, exclusive analysis, an array of columns, live event coverage, flashbacks, and so much more. Check it out. That's MMATorch.com, or download the free MMA Torch app in the iPhone and Android app stores. That's MMATorch.com. If you're like me, you've got a list of favorite websites and a list of favorite podcasts that you visit either every day or throughout the week, but there's probably not a lot of crossover between the two. However, with PW Torch Livecast, that's different. If you're a listener of this show, you should also be visiting our main website, pwtorch.com, loaded with updates covering news in more depth than you'll find anywhere else. Editorials you won't find anywhere else. Live TV coverage and pay-per-view coverage that's unmatched, and so much more on a newly redesigned, optimized, lightning-fast website. That's pwtorch.com. Check it out every day and bookmark it. No matter what device you're using, whether it's a mobile phone, a tablet, a laptop, or a desktop, there's a version that fits your screen and customized for your device. Check it out, pwtorch.com, one of the top sources of pro wrestling insider news since 1987, and online as a website since 1999. Don't miss out. Don't just listen to the live cast. In between live cast listens, or while you're listening to the live cast, check out the latest headlines and exclusive articles at pwtorch.com.
All right, let's go to our next phone call. Next up is the 918 area code. Welcome to show 918. Please state your name. Where are you calling from?
Hi, my name's Nate from Tulsa.
Hey, Nate. Good to hear from you. What's your mind tonight?
just a couple of first offices. My first time calling in. I really enjoy the show.
Awesome. Appreciate it.
I listen to you guys every week. I've got four things that are down. First, on the open, I don't know if you guys talked about this or not. I really enjoyed it. I think each of the characters did, you know, developed a little bit in each of the things that they were doing. Who pied KO in the face?
I wrote in my report the cameraman, because they didn't that seemed like a first person, you know, it was like a
right.
What it reminded me of was for people who watch Fresh Prince back in the day, and there was that one episode where there was like this toy, you know, they're doing like a toy gun storyline where somebody was walking around the house and had like a toy gun, you know, like one of those things where, you know, it's got like a sticky on the end, and, you know, it shot you in the forehead. And I think, you know, like the camera was, you know, creeping up on Will Smith, and, you know, Will turns around and gets shot in the, with the, you know, little thing. It was like a first person camera thing. That's kind of how I took it, that, you know, Kevin Owens was pied by the cameraman. It was like a first person type thing. So my guess was the cameraman. Because I don't know who else it could have been. That's a good question.
Either way, I enjoyed that. As far as the New Day and the Wyatts go, teasing the New Day breakup, I think that kind of signals that they're probably not going to break up the New Day. Also, them teasing them to or inviting them out to the compound, do you think that this turns into a Hardy's style vignette out in a compound, there being a ring in a bar or something?
That's interesting. As long as it didn't turn to a match in the old shed or barn that they were kind of broadcasting from, you know, I guess they had, you know, they have a really strong internet connection out there to cut in, you know, live via satellite, cut in during the New Day promo from the barn or the shed. That was a little bit too much of a stretch for me. I could see the New Day kind of going on a bit of a journey, trying to find, you know, the Wyatts, they could do an entire episode. Well, not like 3 hours, but I mean like the entire journey is almost like, you know, TNA used to do that back in like 2 or 3 years ago where, what was it like Rockstar Spud had an assignment. He had to go track down, maybe it was AJ Styles. I forget the whole thing. It was TNA 3 years ago. It was kind of weird. But, you know, he had to like track down somebody, and maybe it was AJ Styles, and the entire show was, you know, four or five or six different vignettes where Rockstar Spud was, you know, going through town, and then he was, you know, here, and then he was here, and then he was here, and then he finally got to the home. So, you know, they could do something like that on, especially on a 3-hour Raw. I mean, you could spread that out over, you know, all 3 hours is, you know, the, you know, New Day's journey to find the Wyatts and track them down. So, you know, you could do that. The only way I see New Day being split is by the draft, and there's something with the draft where, you know, if they're drafted individually, if they're not a collective unit, if it's not, you know, New Day is drafted to Raw or SmackDown, but if it's Xavier Woods get drafted to Raw or SmackDown, that might be how they break up the Wyatts and explain and kind of follow through on this whole thing with Xavier being lost. I am curious if they do a lot of pre-tapes coming out of this where it's New Day, you know, on the hunt for the Wyatts and see what kind of develops from that. Kind of a TNA-esque, you know, sort of James Storm with Sonata type stuff from TNA TV a couple years ago. Hopefully better quality, but that could be what they're going for. Nate, what else did you have in your mind?
As far as Cena and Enzo and Cass teaming up, as soon as they came out, I thought it was perfect because here's three white guys from the New England area, and two of them think that they can rap. Like, this is just natural. This is a natural fit in my mind.
And one dude's
so
really
I can
tall.
Just play into
yeah.
That.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. one's his friend.
I like. I like that. Oh my gosh! Cena and Enzo rap battling. That's actually could be classic. Go ahead, Nate.
Perfect. And then my last point was just in the last match. You were talking earlier about trying to get somebody over, you know, maybe Apollo Crews getting the win. And I think they got the most important thing over, which is America. That's it. I'll thank you so much, and I'll talk to you guys later.
All right, Nate, I appreciate it. Please call again soon. I enjoy your call. Yes, to kind of bookend tonight's Raw postgame show, America did go over. It was a tough struggle. Titus O'Neil let everybody down in the opening match. But America made the big comeback. They fought through the multinational, international conglomerate of people not from America alliance. And they overcame the odds. Deck was stacked. Are the Olympics this year? Yeah, wow, the Olympics are coming up. I sense, like, no hype for the Olympics this year. What's going on? I haven't been watching much SportsCenter lately. I assume SportsCenter's been hyping it, but speaking of SportsCenter, the Wyatts are supposed to be on SportsCenter tomorrow night, on Tuesday night. I wonder if they'll be live via the shed at the compound, or will they be, like, live from the SmackDown taping with the, you know, the generic, SmackDown or Raw logo and the TitanTron in the background. I wonder how this interview will go down with the Wyatts tomorrow night. They tried last week, but they were bumped for, there was some other program on ESPN News last week. I don't remember what it was. Oh, it was like replays of Around the Horn and PTI. I was like, why? I don't understand this, but, so I guess we'll try again this week with Wyatts, and we'll see how that plays out. I'll wrap up with a couple email questions. I could just end the show, because as Nate said, it was all about America tonight. America did go over. A couple email questions here. One about whether you introduce another title when you split the brands. Like a TV title. Matthew from Australia wrote in about that. I think they have enough titles. I think if you have the Intercontinental title and the U.S. title on separate brands, that's good. So I assume Rusev and Miz end up on separate shows. I don't think either one would drop their title before the draft and two Tuesdays. So I'm going to go with them kind of going off, and that'll be fine. Brian in North Carolina, who do you think will be the people to hold the top titles if they do split off the major titles? He says his vote is one for AJ Styles, other one is for Seth Rollins, and have Rollins face Cena and Brock. That one's interesting. I would stick with Ambrose. I would keep the belt, one of the belts on Ambrose, and then have a heel be the other one, and that could be Brock. That could be Brock as a heel, and you could end up with Brock against whoever he's going to face at SummerSlam for a top title. And that's how they get to that point. So, I mean, we'll find out a lot more when they announce this on SmackDown. That'll help the analysis a lot when we find out who Brock's facing at SummerSlam. So, until then, it's kind of hard to know. But, I mean, Brock would be my pick, though, if they could make that happen. Wayne in Toronto, is WWE trying to make Raw bad so you can get people to start watching SmackDown? that is a conspiracy theory. I think, the 3-hour Raw format is it's not a good format. And Harvey wrote from Chicago. He doesn't like WWE comedy, but he has been enjoying some of the recent promos, U.S. title contender promos on SmackDown, like how they started off last week's SmackDown. What else can WWE do to start a show that isn't a 20-minute promo? Well, this week they did a food fight. There was a food fight this week, so how about that? And he also wants to know who will run Raw and who will run SmackDown. The interesting thing, Shane hasn't been on in a couple weeks, and Stephanie's been acting more heelish lately. They have acted like Shane and Stephanie will both run Raw, but they did switch this whole, like, COO verbiage for both Raw and SmackDown. Not general managers, not showrunners, but COOs, and when Triple H is the CEO on TV of WWE. So maybe Triple H is going to run Raw as a CEO, a COO of Raw. I go with William Regal as the COO of SmackDown. I think William Regal as SmackDown COO and NXT GM, and that'd be my pick. I'd go with that, or it's Paul Heyman, and Paul Heyman books Brock Lesnar in a top title match. So, you know what I mean? And as Harvey wrote in, they have made all these past GMs look like jokes. You know what I mean? And so now it's, if you get to the point where, it's like this. You can either do one of two things, which is good, 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 best. Wow. Or crap, 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 crap. Okay, great. Somebody different. They've taken the crap, crap, crap route. And, you know, I don't know that's going to have a huge impact. I mean, the only way, if you do crap, and then you have, and then you try to make a huge impact, I mean, it's got to be a super shocker. You know what I mean? Either set up a huge NXT angle and William Regal comes in, or it's like Eric Bischoff, you know, who's been off TV since he was thrown in a dump truck, you know, what, 11 years ago on Raw. You know, so you brought, if you brought him back to be, you know, the GM of SmackDown, or if you brought back Paul Heyman to be the GM of or COO, I'm sorry, of SmackDown, that'd be kind of that huge shocker. But, you know, if you did best, then boom, wow, best. I'm sorry, if you did good, and then best, you know, that's how you really get that person over. It's like, you're like, oh, wow, that person's really good, but, you know, no, it's not quite that. Oh, that person's really good too. But not quite. Oh, wow! I can't believe so and so is the GM. You know, that's the best one. You know, but you know, the WWE oftentimes tries to do it this way, which is, you know, the equivalent is, you know, Jack Swagger, lose, win Money in the Bank. Oh my gosh, he won Money in the Bank. Oh my gosh, he cashed in the briefcase on Jericho. 4 months later, oh yeah, it's back to Jack Swagger being Jack Swagger. You know, or they could have like built and had. Oh man, Swagger! I think Swagger's gonna do it. Oh my gosh, he won the briefcase. Oh my gosh, he cast it on Jericho. He's ready to be World Heavyweight Champion. This is awesome. You know, he's ready to go. Let's see what kind of big matches he ends up with as champion. You know, I always go back to that one of. I think that kind of summarizes WWE's philosophy of booking a lot is, you know, lose, big win. I mean, it's Zack Ryder of today. You know, and I just think that it's such a short-term return. And such a short-term play that it just doesn't make any sense. You know, if you're booking for the long term, which, you know, WWE often doesn't do, wouldn't you want to build, and then boom, hit you with the best thing? You know, the other thing is like, you know, distract, you know, never see it coming, shock. You know, it's just such a short-term thing. It doesn't have any legs. It has no lasting power. So that's why with this whole, like, SmackDown GM thing, it's like, oh, yeah, crap. Laurinaitis, oh yeah, crap. You know, Teddy Long's, you know, tag matches, oh yeah, crap. Vicky Guerrero. And then it's like, oh, okay, great. And somebody different's coming in to be the CEO. Great. You know, but it's not that huge, like, wow, great. Boom, let's go. That I think SmackDown needed. And it just kind of fits, you know, the philosophy of, you know, let's surprise everybody. And it's, you know, just such a short-term philosophy. And I don't agree with it. And I don't think it really pays off in the long run. Let's wrap up with Kylan from New Jersey, VIP member. He had a couple questions he sent in. Let me grab a topic from about Hulk Hogan, and with Hulk Hogan winning, or you know, he won the judgment against Gawker. He has not received anything yet. Will WWE bring him back? You know, it is, you know, it's been a full year. I mean, it was last July that he was, you know, kicked to the curb because of all the audio that came out, you know, the racist remarks that came out from that audio tape from, you know, 7 years ago now. And, you know, now a year's passed and Hogan won the deal with Gawker and he's still in the appeal, you know, he's still having to battle with Gawker, which is appealing, and there's a whole bankruptcy thing and all that. I don't think the quote-unquote coast is clear yet for WWE. I mean, you know, that audio tape was really bad. Even if it was Hulk Hogan at rock bottom of his life and all that kind of stuff that he's talked about. And, you know, his life's falling apart at that point. He just didn't care anymore. He didn't, you know, he said things that he regrets now. I just think that it's still too fresh. I know it's been a year, but this whole Gawker thing has been going on for, you know, 4 years now. So it's still ongoing, and I don't think there's been any sort of break or healing to where he's ready to come back and be back part of WWE. So, WWE, you know, it's Vince McMahon. It's, you know, what's best for business, and, you know, if he gets to the point in his mind where he can justify bringing him back and that would be best for business, then I think he will. But I would say wait. I would say wait, you know, wait until Hogan, you know, has really, you know, expressed his sorrow for what he said and the whole Gawker thing is over and done with, and then maybe bring him back. But I wouldn't bring him back in the middle of all the Gawker stuff. I think that's a bad idea, I think. You know, and I think it kind of sends the wrong message, too. So, Kylan also wrote, will Cody Rhodes inspire other wrestlers to take a similar approach leaving WWE? You know, there's a lot of people been around for a long time who might sit there and say, okay, I see what Cody Rhodes is doing, you know, especially the list, as Kylan mentioned, and maybe I want to go work for, you know, New Japan, or go to PWG, or go to Ring of Honor, or go to WWE Live, or just go to Independence, go to the UK, go to, you know, go somewhere else, go to Europe. It's got to be somebody who wants to do all that stuff, who wants to do the hustle, you know, who wants to do their own bookings, do independent bookings, arrange their own schedule, all that kind of stuff. You know, AJ Styles did that when he left TNA. You know, as he says, he bet on himself. He left TNA, 2 years ago? And he did Ring of Honor, and then did New Japan. He was doing a lot of independence. And then he got a really big deal from WWE. You know, he did the reverse, where he bet on himself doing his own bookings through Bill Barron's of SBIBookings.com. And he ended up paying off in the long run with WWE. So for Cody Rhodes, now he's going to do his own bookings and be his own man and go where he wants to go and wrestle who he wants to wrestle and do all, you know, do Battle of Los Angeles in September and do all that kind of stuff. So, you know, more power to him. It's not for everybody. You know, some guys are just kind of comfortable in the WWE system and they like it and that's what they know and that's their routine and maybe they don't think there's as much value in them on the independents. You know, they don't have that, like, oh my gosh, Cody Rhodes was so underutilized kind of vibe to them. You know, like Damian Sandow. You know, they might not have, I mean, like, somebody might not have that kind of reaction if they got released. It might be a ho-hum, yeah, whatever, kind of reaction. But, you know, you've got to be in the right position to have that sort of pop if you leave WWE. And if you don't have, if you're not in a position to have that pop, you might as well just stay in WWE. So it's kind of you got to figure out what position you are in life and career-wise and see if you want to try what Cody Rhodes is going to try starting August 19th with WWE Live. And that'll do it for me on tonight's livecast, a good live discussion here on the 4th of July. And I appreciate you guys calling in and emailing us and sending us some tweets and being in the chat room, even in the chat room. Appreciate you guys out there. I always forget to shout out to you guys, but thanks for keeping the discussion going in the chat room. And thank you guys for listening to the show. Wade Keller is back on Tuesday at 1 Eastern right here at pwtorchlivecast.com. Pat McNeil on Wednesday, and then Wade again with Interview Thursday at 1 Eastern on Thursday. Bruce and Travis back here on Friday and at 7 Eastern, and then Jim Valley wraps up the week at 11:30 a.m. Eastern on Saturday with Saturday Morning Wrestling with his special guest of the week. All of that right here at PWTorchLivecast.com or in the Torch VIP audio section.
If you're a fan of the PW Torch Livecast, you might want to consider a PW Torch VIP membership. When you do that, you get access to an exclusive RSS feed of not only ad-free, plug-free versions of every single PW Torch Livecast, but also over 50 other VIP exclusive podcasts per month, including the Every Single Day Wade Keller Hotline. I also host three other flagship VIP exclusive podcasts: The Midweek Fix with Todd Martin, The Weekend Bruce Mitchell Audio Show, each about 2 hours in length, and the post pay-per-view roundtables with the 1 hour analysis of every WWE pay-per-view and some other ones too. Also, ad-free access to PWTorchVIP.com, and that is mobile-friendly and PC and desktop-friendly. And also access to almost three decades of the Pro Wrestling Torch newsletter, dating back to the late 1980s, over 1,400 back issues, with my pay-per-view reports on every single pay-per-view match since the late 1980s, with star ratings and match descriptions, roundtable reviews from the staff on every pay-per-view, cover stories on the biggest story every single week in pro wrestling, march through them as a VIP member 1 week at a time, read our exclusive Torch Talks with pro wrestling's biggest names, hard-hitting editorials, backstage tidbits you will not hear anywhere else, and much more. It's all available. Check out details at pwtorch.com/govip. That's pwtorch.com/govip. Exclusive podcasts, exclusive new newsletters every week, ad-free access to our website, and access to 28-plus years of archives. It's all waiting for you if you go VIP. Find out more details, a checklist of all the benefits of being a VIP member, along with testimonials from current members and a sign-up form that's mobile-friendly. Takes about 90 seconds to sign up. Go check it out today, pwtorch.com/govip.
So on behalf of Torch Columbus Pat McNeil, with Kids on Bridges playing us out, This is Torch Assistant Editor James Caldwell signing off for the livecast. This is live.